As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam, hosted by Andrew Schlecht with Alex Spears.
How about we can just watch basketball?
That's a man's jam!
I like that idea.
Live from Oklahoma.
Quick clip!
With questions and participants from all around the world.
Put that on a poster!
Whether you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee, get ready, sit back, relax. It's the Saturday Slammin' Jam.
Fact is, I missed this shot. I'll walk away. I'm still a chump.
Here's Andrew.
Welcome to the Saturday Slammin' Jam. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. Go to theathletic.com/NBA show and get The Athletic for $1 a month for 6 months. My guy, Alex Spears, is taking a break this week. So today, I'm giving you a two-part show, and I'm taking a break from trivia in part one. Keith Parrish of Fast Break Breakfast and Katie Heindel of Basketball Feelings joined to discuss the future and who the best teams will be in 2025. And then in part two, Jeff Garcia, Spurs beat writer and host of Locked On Spurs, joins to discuss Manu Ginobili and his Hall of Fame induction. Right now, I'm joined by Katie Heindel of Basketball Feelings. How are you, Katie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Doing very good. Keith Parrish of Fast Break Breakfast and the Grits and Grinds podcast, a show about the Memphis Grizzlies. Keith.
I'm good, Andrew. How are you doing?
Still good. Still doing good. Today, I want to talk...
Oh, sorry. You didn't technically ask me how I was doing, but I assume the question from Katie carried over when you threw it to me.
It didn't really, but I still
wanted
to know.
I just wanted to volunteer. I'm fine.
Okay.
Keith also got the way more energetic introduction, but that's okay. Basketball Feelings, I guess it can be pretty somber sometimes, you know?
Well, my podcasts have exclamation points in the official titles. Thanks. Does Basketball Feelings, you got to put some exclamation points in there.
I mean, I do it all caps sometimes.
Yeah. That's pretty loud. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this is all lowercase in the introduction that I typed here. So today.
Andrew already regrets this.
Yes. No, I regret nothing. We're talking about the future, okay? As someone who covers the Thunder, I think about the future almost exclusively. So I thought we could do some predicting and also have a little fun while we're doing that. So we're going to do a draft of teams and predict who will be the best teams heading into the 25-26 season. So that's 3 years from now. Three seasons have come and gone. Who are the best teams? We're going to do a snake draft. So Katie will go first, followed by me. And then Keith picked twice because this is a snake draft. So I want to set the stage a little bit. It's the year 2025. LeBron James is 40 years old. Chris Paul is 40. Steph Curry is 37. Giannis is still only somehow 30 years old, which is just doesn't make any sense to me. Plus, Goldman Sachs is betting on the virtual and augmented reality industry to go from a $7 billion industry to an $80 billion industry. So just prepare for virtual reality here in 2025. Katie, you have the number one pick in this future draft. Who are you selecting?
Before Katie picks, can I ask a question? We're just talking about this one season, the 2025-2026 season. We're doing a power ranking for the summer of 2025 going into that season. This is not like, going forward, I want to be this team with all the picks. This is talking about this one season, who's the favorite to win the title.
Exactly.
Just want to make sure I have it right.
Yes, because it's not like, okay, I want to build with this team moving forward.
No, the Jazz like haven't used any of these draft picks they've traded for yet.
The Jazz are a theoretical team.
Still 2025. They have not used any of the picks they got from the Cavaliers. Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. All right. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Katie.
No, that's okay. It's important to get the parameters down in a fantasy world like this. I'm going to go against my heart here and try and be a little bit logical. I'm going to pick the Cavs.
Because
with the number one pick. Okay, go ahead. Explain.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think the Cavs will be pretty good this year in our boring present tense, but I know that's not what we're here to talk about. I think by then, assuming they keep all the great pieces they have now, Mobley continues to develop, Jared Allen continues to just like be the gem that he is. You got Spida there, and then they've got, I think, a pick in 2024 and 2025. I just feel like this is a good team now. So I think they will be competitive into this season and next season, much more competitive. And then, you know, by my fake trajectory, this puts them in like title contention, I'd say, by 2025.
Yeah, Mitchell will be 29 by then.
And Darius Garland, of course.
Garland. Oh my God, I forgot.
Also super young. I mean, by the time the Jazz start reaping these draft picks from the Cavaliers, if they're all there, what are the ages, Andrew? It's like Garland's 27, 28.
Garland's 25.
Yeah, Garland's 25. Mobley's, 24,
25? 24. He's hyper aged.
Jared Allen is a super old 28. Mitchell or whatever they've traded Mitchell for. Mm-hmm.
Mitchell's 29
still there
at the time.
Yeah, like
this still team, in his prime.
This team is all still very young. Yes. 3 years from now. That's a great pick, Katie.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to go with a team that was just in the finals, and it's like, we shouldn't pick a team that was just in the finals. I'm picking the Boston Celtics. So Jaylen Brown, as long as he's still on the team, who knows? Player movement happens all the time, but he'll only be 29 years old. And then Jason Tatum's only 27. Like, he's just, like, entering his prime. I think a lot of times we think about these guys just because we've seen them so much as, like, finished products. But he'll only be 27. Like, he can get a lot better. I think we did this with Giannis, like, 100 times where it's like, okay, well, now we know what Giannis is, but he keeps on making these leaps. And it's like, oh, it's because he hasn't entered his prime yet.
Yeah.
And I think that we've done the same thing with Tatum. It's like, okay, well, this is who Tatum is. Good player, great player. Can he get any better? It's like, yes, he can get better. Like, a lot of players get better. A lot of players become like their actualized self at this age, 27. And so even if somehow Jaylen Brown leaves, maybe they have to trade him or whatever it is, I think that I trust the way that they've built this team. And I just think that Jason Tatum will be one of the best players in the NBA by this time. So I'm going with the Celtics.
So I like your pick too, Andrew. I want you guys to know and the listeners to know, I took this exercise very seriously. And you guys...
We did it?
No, I don't know what everyone else did. I don't know what everyone else's process was, but I had the Cavaliers second and the Celtics third in my power ranking. So I think I'm right on board with you guys. I think you guys made excellent picks. This wasn't planned as far as I know, but you guys obviously left me with my number one pick. And I think it's close. I think Cavaliers have a good argument. I think the Celtics have a good argument. I'm also thinking about I just want Giannis. I don't care. Like, Giannis and anyone. I don't care who's playing on the Bucks in the future. But I get two picks right now. This is very exciting in the snake draft. So my number one team is still on the board, and that is my Memphis Grizzlies.
Boomer.
I knew it.
We are recording this on Jaren Jackson's 23rd birthday.
That's
so
true.
3 years birthday, from JJ. Today on this recording, he just turned 26.
Yeah.
Ja Morant will also be 26. Desmond Bain, I think it will be 27. I don't know if Brandon Clark's still on the team. He'll be 28. Dylan Brooks is still in his 20s. He'll be 29 if he's still here. This team is loaded. They have an MVP candidate this season in the boring present in Ja Morant. And all the stuff you said about Jason Tatum, I would like to now apply that also to Ja Morant.
Yep.
Like, age 26 Ja. And also, like, I think people are a little bit sleeping on Desmond Bain.
Not me.
Okay, good. He was incredible in the playoffs. He basically, like, was second in the NBA in three-point percentage. And this is just year two of him last year. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about the future the Grizzlies have. So they're my first pick in the first round. And then the snake wraps back around.
Well, I want to stay with the Grizzlies for a second, because sure. I think you can also assume that at some point they're going to cash in some chips and try to bring in somebody else, because they still have their picks. Everybody wants to talk about now, like, okay, this Jrue Holiday trade that happened with the Bucks. As long as you have your own picks, you can go trade for somebody. Like, you can make this, like, Godfather, like, we'll give you our future for whoever it is.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Grizzlies still have that in them to do. I mean,
at the trade deadline of 2022, this is future Keith talking in the year 2025. The trade deadline of 2022, they actually
changed.
Change
your voice so it sounds like future Keith.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Raspier?
Maybe. Or
the
more robotic?
The smoke from all the wildfires have given miasma. No, we're trading. we're trading the contract to Danny Green and Tyus Jones and some pieces for Paul George, because, you know, Kawhi never actually came back in 2022, and the Clippers decided to transition, so they picked up an extra all-star.
I love this alternate universe.
Now, the future's bright. Thank you for mentioning the picks, Andrew. We exercised the Warriors 2024 pick, which they owe the Grizzlies. I didn't even mention Zaire Williams yet. Maybe Jake LaRavia is good? I don't know. But I think the future is very bright for the Grizzlies.
Is Jake LaRavia the best player on the 2025 Grizzlies? We don't know. We just don't even know.
He turned into Larry Bird.
No.
I mean, if you're going strictly on the Bane trajectory, it's possible, right?
Well, I think Bane, if LaRavia does get on that Bane trajectory, sure. But I think Bane absolutely, you know, could be. I've been hyping him on Grits and Grinds with, like, why isn't he Michael Redd or even Michael Finley or
for a minute. Like, let our listeners know.
Why isn't he on Clay Thompson? Show me Clay Thompson's age 23 stats. Like, Desmond Bane shot and made more three-pointers. The points per game are the same. The points per 100 possessions. Like, it favors Desmond Bane. Like, it's all, you know, the future's very, very bright. But you want me to move on? I mean, I can talk Grizzlies all day. That's literally my job. I'm gonna do my second round pick now, and I'm gonna take, focusing on players who we know are awesome already, I am going to pick the Denver Nuggets, because in 2025 Nikola Jokic will be coming off his fifth consecutive MVP, and I think he has one more year. He's already announced in 2026-27, he's actually retiring to devote his life to harness racing. He's amassed wealth that'll last him and his children
and
for generations. He's saying,
enough.
You know what? Five MVPs is enough. And me and Jamal Murray, we've been killing it for so long. Jamal's still in his absolute prime. We have Aaron Gordon. The medical advancements have completely taken care of all Michael Porter Jr. back ailments. Zeke Nagy's dropping, you know, 50-40-90 splits at the power forward spot. Now, I'm all in on the Nuggets in the future, because they have proven success currently, and I see no reason why Jokic will not be the same player. I don't know, he's going to be 31. Who cares? Like, this guy doesn't
30.
He doesn't rely on his athleticism.
I know.
He doesn't jump. That was going to be
my pick.
Yeah,
Jokic is 30. MPJ is 27. If he's still,
again, in the future
playing basketball,
these are 2025 ages we're throwing out. Yeah,
Jamal Murray, 28. Like, that season, like, theoretically, the Nuggets could be heading into, like, their best season, like, ever.
Yeah, yeah. Bones Highland, we traded him for a rebounder. I mean, like, what? Who cares? Like, I'm very excited about the Nuggets' future. And by the way, I mean, just this exercise, I get the Grizzlies and the Nuggets. I'm a happy guy.
I mean, I like it because you're letting Jokic go be with his horses, and that's the only thing that I really want for him at any point in his career. So I like that pick too.
So I'm deciding between two teams for my next one, and it's both teams that have players that we know are good already. I think I'm just going to go with the Bucks, just because Giannis is incredible. He'll only be 30 years old. And I just believe in Giannis. At this time, Chris Middleton's 34. Like, that's not great. Jrue Holiday's 35. You hope that maybe they can put other younger players around him. But even so, even if it was a 34-year-old Chris Middleton, like, I don't really care. I think Giannis is the best player in the NBA. I think he still will be the best player in the NBA at the age of 30. So I'm going with the Bucks.
It's a strong pick. I fear Giannis for forever. So
I know. Yeah, it's crazy seeing what he does.
A Chris Middleton maturing into his sweater selection too. He's already kind of like that now. You know, when you said his age, I was like, I thought maybe he was there already, but that's just in his tutorial choices. I think that's good. I'm a little bit dubious, like not to doubt Giannis, but I'm just a little bit dubious of like Giannis only.
Yeah.
But that's why this is your second pick.
The best players are always toward the top, you know? And so I think the Bucks will still be going strong. I think they've got to make good moves moving forward because they have gone all in on like this era of Giannis. And so like, how do you shift that? I think it's a really hard thing to do. I mean, we're seeing the Warriors trying to do it. We're seeing the Warriors trying to shift that way. But even so, it's still a mystery as to whether it's going to work out for them.
And also with the Bucks, I mean, when we look into the future and we say this, the summer of 2025 is very controversial as Middleton, a 34-year-old Middleton, and an aging Drew Holiday both took these very under-market value deals. They're both like, oh, yeah, I'll come back for $8 million a year. And everyone's outraged. Like, what are they promising? Right. What NFTs have been promised in this transaction? What is Mark Lazary and the guys
Bitcoin
doing
mines have gone
to
dry.
Convince them to stay for that? Because the Bucks in a couple years actually have like massive cap space if depending what direction they go. Because the Holiday contracts and the Middleton contracts will be over. So I think just betting on Giannis and anyone. I love the pick because they definitely have options where they're going to go in the future.
You're up, Candy.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of undaunted because nobody touched my second pick. And this is the pick of my heart that I had to steer myself away from picking number one, but it's the Pistons. I think the Pistons this is the season they will get their weird feet under them and probably slip and fall on their faces quite a bit. But you need to do that, in order to like make sense of the team. You know, I think Cade is really going to get a chance to be this kind of disruptive. It's like one of the most disruptive players, I think, in the NBA now. It's an interesting style that I think will really lend itself to the team. Sadiq, I think, is just going to improve. I just really like the Pistons this year. And I think when they get this kind of like wily, weird growth spurt out of the way, they've got a pick in 2024, also 2025. I just think they'll be super exciting. I'm not saying they're going to be like, this is just teams that we like think are going to be good, right? And I guess good can be very, good to me can be just entertaining.
You mean morally good?
To watch.
You mean like,
they'll be morally
these are good.
Good
boys.
They'll be morally good because they are now. Same with the Cavs. I guess all my picks have something in common. But I think they will just generally be an entertaining, a very fast, and just kind of like new style. I'll say they're going to, by 2025, the Detroit Pistons are going to just be ushering in a new, completely new style of NBA basketball.
I think when I think of the Pistons, when I do like their fans should be nothing but optimistic because like all the stuff they have right now, they have, if it's like an exercise for like the brightest young core or the most exciting, the most tantalizing potential, I think, yeah, you nailed it. They have possible studs in Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. And then like they have Jalen Duren, who they drafted in the lottery. And then like Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey, like those guys can develop into pieces. And just they have like the bright future. I'm more of like, I would be more wait and see though. Like I need, maybe this is just my own personal.
It's not enough years for you to wait and see. This is some time. And I feel like the NBA.
No,
you
know, it's a lot of years to develop and they could all be awesome.
Yeah, they could all be awesome.
Like I need more of the proven. I need more of the tangible. I've at least seen a taste. I mean, you could be right. This could be the best team in 3 years, you know?
What proof do we have?
The like Grizzlies. The Grizzlies made this jump early.
Yeah, yeah. What proof do we
you
have
mean besides
like
having the second best
exercise.
Record in the NBA last year?
Yes, but that could all get blown to smithereens in three years.
No. It could all be done. Of course,
could all
be future.
Done. Maybe the
I
NBA
just want more, I want
won't
more proof
even
of concept
exist.
Now. I'm just saying I've taken teams that have already, you know, have people in the MVP conversation and have already won playoff series. That's all. It's everyone to each their own.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm
I like the
defensive.
Pick.
Thanks.
Cade Cunningham will only be 23 by that time.
Wow.
Too.
Yeah. So young. Young and fast.
Katie, you get to play. You get to go again.
Oh, okay. Wasn't prepared for this. You know what? Here's my dark horse candidate. I'm going to go with the Pacers. And this Keith won't like this because...
Okay. All right. You got to really talk me into this one. Let's go.
Pacers are not in my top 13.
Yeah, you figured. Because the Pacers, like, this is purely based on hypothetical future potential because of all the picks that the Pacers have coming their way. And this is also assuming they don't trade them, or maybe they do trade them away for something better. But the Pacers now, this is like you're building up from the studs kind of team. But I do have faith in Rick Carlisle. Maybe Miles Turner will finally get his wish and be traded, and we'll have kind of like a clean slate for that team. But you've got three picks in 2023, one 2024, one 2025. So to me, this is the season they will have to like lay some foundational anything in order for this to materialize. I mean, I would also argue they are just softly tanking. They just have not said it for about four seasons.
I don't think it's soft. Oh, you think they were softly tanking. I got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in 2025, I believe at that point, Rick Carlisle will be trying to break his 15 consecutive years of not getting out of the first round.
Yes.
And I think I'm optimistic for him. I think you add Victor Wembanyama to Halliburton and Ben Mathurin. Yeah, you got a stew going now.
You got a nice young core. It was either like this to me or the Spurs, because the Spurs are another team I think that they're going to have.
Spurs. Okay, you got to really talk me into that one.
The Spurs aren't making the playoffs for five, six years.
I'm not picking the Spurs. I'm just saying, you know, I was looking at all the picks they have. Also, an aging coach, probably going to step away, and like that team will just have to start from scratch again. What is the Spurs identity? You know, like what's it going to be? That just seemed like a farther bet to me, even though there'll be a lot of fresh faces. The Pacers to me still have some kind of like, competitive identity just buried under a lot of Indiana silt.
Indiana silt. We're just sticking with that. Under the bales of Indiana hay and corn.
I just can't get over the Pacers team from like five seasons ago that was like extremely fun and good. And I just like, I want that to come back.
I have a future bet for you.
Okay.
In September of 2025, when Mark Stein releases his offseason power rankings, I'll bet you, I don't know what, I'll bet you something from the concourse at Summer League, any food item.
Anything,
the Spurs are not in the top 15 of Mark Stein's power rankings in the summer of 2025. Any food item from the
Spurs or the Pacers? You mean the Pacers?
No, yeah, I the Spurs. She says, I'll give you Pacers top 10. I like the Pacers. Okay. I'm excited about the Pacers.
Okay. Cool. But I didn't pick the Spurs. So you're just going to,
you said, unless I misheard, you said you were thinking about the Spurs similarly. Because Andrew and I both had very strong audible responses to that, just that comment. Yeah. I don't know what the Spurs have going for them that 29 other teams don't have better. Like right now in the present day. So like I have a hard time seeing them being
a begrudging championship DNA.
Oh, they do. Well, they have lots of more titles. They have a much better history, of course.
I will take that bet.
Okay, great. This is for the Spurs not being in the top 15 of Mark Stein's summer power rankings in 2025. Keep doing the power.
I mean, for a team I really didn't believe in, I feel like this is a great bet for me.
Great bet for you. It's a great bet for you.
Do you think the food will be better on the concourse of the Thompson?
That's a harder thing to predict.
It'll be $18 nachos and cheese nachos with cheese sauce.
Yeah, with inflation, I'm probably,
The Rebel Dog will be $14.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rebel Dog, yeah.
Have we gotten too niche? Sorry, Andrew.
We're talking a $17 Blizzard by 2025.
I might go Dippin' Dots if that's, but maybe I don't know if like in the future ice cream technology.
Wow.
But I don't think anything passes Dippin' Dots, but that might be my pick, Keith.
All right.
Okay.
We're at pick eight now? Where are we at?
We're at pick eight. Yes. To recap real quick, Cavs, Celtics, Grizzlies, Nuggets, Bucks, Pistons, Pacers. Man, you really threw me off with that Pacers one. I'm going to have to go with Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, though.
Yeah.
I don't like at all what they've done around Luka. I like almost nothing that they've done around Luka. But still, Luka took them to the Western Conference Finals last year. with a team that I didn't really like. And so we're talking about a player that I just think is going to be incredible. He'll be 26 by that time, entering his prime. I think he'll be one of the top three players in the NBA. As long as they just get a few competent players around him, I think the Mavericks will be one of the best teams in the NBA just because of him. So I'm going Mavs for my pick.
Picking the best players, I think, is a great strategy. Katie was more of a pick the future upside, which is also a fine strategy.
I kind of thought that's what we were doing here, but it's fine. We all have our
approaches. We're picking who the best team is going to be in 3 years from today. That's all.
That's all.
We're merely forecasting 3 years from right now. Andrew, the Mavericks are a team I considered. This is weird. Do you want to talk more about them, or do you want me to go ahead to my last pick and I can watch?
We can talk more about them. Yeah.
You think by that time they would have settled, like they've seemingly chosen not to spend picks this year. I think that's been reported. Like they're not going to trade picks. Kind of, they're going to kind of wait it out. They're going to see what's going to, you know, what the landscape's going to be like. Maybe use free agency in a couple years to add to Luka, because they have, like you said, they made some missteps. Like they went too early on a big trade. They thought Porzingis was the perfect partner for Luka, and maybe that set them back a little bit. I mean, but also this is a team coming off making the conference finals last year. So yeah, I think hitching your wagon, Andrew, as you've done, to a perennial MVP candidate, great move, who still, yes, will be in his prime of his career. And like, yeah, the future is very open. A lot of directions they can go as they build around Luka.
Yeah, I think the Jrue Holiday style trade is open to them. I think that's what they're hoping for, is that they can find his running mate in the future where somebody gets disgruntled and they can go
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Four picks and three swaps. Hey, Shea's got a 5-year deal, okay? He'll still have 2 years left after this. So just in the future, he'll still have 2 years left with the Thunder.
I also want to say that for a team who right now, and a front office who right now wants to run their franchise on an algorithm, the future will be better suited to that style.
True.
Of executive decisions by computer.
So we got one pick left in this thing. Mm-hmm. I have to wrap it up. A lot of teams that I ranked very highly are still available. I actually want to do a thing. I don't want to steal the format from you, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm going to say some teams, and can you guys tell me why you didn't pick them?
Mm-hmm.
Why not the Hawks?
I just literally forgot about them.
Okay. Like Trae Young, Trae Young is 25 today, I think. Mm-hmm. So he'll be 28. John Collins will be about that age. You got Onyeka Okongwu. You got DeAndre Hunter. Maybe DeJounte Murray will still be there. Why not the Hawks in a few years? All these guys may be still in their prime.
Yeah, they were definitely a team I considered. Defensively, are they going to be able to be good enough is the question.
Okay.
You know, to me. Okongwu is going to have to be super good.
Why not the
for them to figure it out?
Why not the Pelicans? If Zion,
They were on my list.
Ingram's still pretty young. They got Dyson Daniels. I've never seen Dyson Daniels play, but I heard Jerry West say he was real enamored with him, and I was like, okay. You got Herb Jones, you got Trey Murphy 3, who looks, you know, like up and coming. Like they have a lot of interesting young pieces.
Ingram will only be 28.
Yeah.
By that time.
The Pelicans just seem kind of like a slow juggernaut team to me. I feel like it's going to take them a little bit longer to get rolling. That isn't to say like they won't be on their way there by 2025. I just think like the Zion stuff's obviously set them back. I want the best for that guy. Like I want him to come back and just like have the career, you know, he's meant to have. But I do still think it's going to take some time to acclimatize. And then I don't know. Is it bad that my brain still thinks beyond just the exercises, like just the players on the floor? I'm also kind of like, I don't know that franchise has its head all the way in basketball, and that's a problem.
That's a great point. And for this exercise, like I'll admit, I was thinking it more of like, what if they let me run the team, or like, what if they let me do the, like, I didn't focus much on like ownership,
right?
And
I didn't really front office anywhere else. And
because like honestly. Of the teams I'm considering, like one is like the Raptors, where it's like, why not the Raptors? Like you got Scotty Barnes, you got Pascal, you got OG. Also, you have a very stable ownership group and a front office that you trust. And like, probably would go with them. Why not the, going back to the why not the teams, why not the Rockets? I like the Rockets fit the mold that KD used on the Pistons and the Pacers. Where like, I'm real excited about the very young pieces they have.
Yeah, I think you could do like with that kind of team. It's like, why not the Rockets? Why not the Thunder? Why not the Magic? You know, and like of those teams, of those three who are likely to be bad teams this year, like which one is most likely to be a good team heading into 25-26?
Gotcha.
I think is an interesting question. What do you guys think?
I mean, for the Raptors, the reasoning why I didn't pick them was because I think they're a bit more meteoric, like on a meteoric track to me, a little bit like do or die, just because you've got like, you know, some contracts coming up and I don't know who they're going to extend. Like, yes, I would think history would say you'd extend Fred VanVleet, you'd offer him, but I don't, maybe he doesn't want to come back. So, and though that's all happening in the next two seasons before, right? Like before we get to 2025. So I feel like their next two seasons are actually going to be more of like the blueprint of in terms of, are we going to keep this team and win with this team? Because I actually think it can be more immediate. Whereas the teams I kind of picked are still just like, they're getting their legs under them now. And the Raptors, in my mind, already have that.
So you guys have helped me a lot. Thank you for your feedback there.
Always keep.
My final team, and again, this is, I hadn't given a lot of thought to ownership situations, but I'm going to forecast the future. And maybe there will have been an ownership change. I'm taking the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. Yeah.
The way I see
this
is a team that had the best record of the NBA in our present last year in the 2021-2022 season. 3 years from today, you can check my ages here, Andrew. Devin Booker's 27. Mikal Bridges is 29. DeAndre Ayton is 26. Cam Johnson is...
No, Booker's 29.
Booker's 29. Sorry. Oh, that's right. Yeah. But Ayton is still young. Bridges and Cam Johnson still in their 20s. I think that team will still keep winning. Yes, probably Chris Paul has moved on, but I think maybe that amount of talent and high-end talent, proven talent, like the guys you want, the pieces you want around superstars, they already found them. Like you have a Mikal Bridges, you have a Cam Johnson. Like those are the 3-and-D shooter types that everyone is looking for. And I think already having those in-house while having a superstar in Devin Booker, while having a great player, maybe like they trade DeAndre Ayton. Maybe they probably flipped him for something. And I think that, I guess, like I'm not super confident about it. Like maybe I should have gone with the Pelicans. Like they were higher on my initial ranking. But I guess I'll settle with it. I like proven things. This is again why like I don't, you know, Andrew, and I think you asked me on to do this thing. Like, you know, I don't value the upside. I don't like doing this exercise. It's like we haven't mentioned the Jazz or the Thunder because like you're already behind all these teams. It's a rough sell of like, what are you waiting for? We're talking about 3 years into the future, and like you guys devoted to the tank and thought that was the best avenue to get like the high end talent, but like it's a risky proposition because all of a sudden, falling back to the present, you're like, have the Pistons passed us? Like the Pistons have Jaden and, you know, Cade, and then those other young pieces we talked about, and the Thunder, it's like, all right, we have Shea, and we hope we have Chet. And then it's like, but what if Jaden Ivey's better than Giddey? All right, maybe the Pistons have passed us. So like, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard when you sell the upside. Like I know I needle this a lot, but like the Jazz. Like what is the target year for the Jazz? You know, like what are they trying to be good? Like it's a long way out. Like
it's a long way out.
You better but hope as you Jokic know, and Giannis stop playing in 5 years type thing.
But you know that like things can turn quickly. Like, we wouldn't have mentioned totally the Cavs. In this exercise a year ago.
Yeah,
I might have.
You know,
you did.
You might. Yeah, you picked the Pacers. Yeah, fair point.
You saw it coming.
But I do think that things can turn quickly for these teams. I mean, 100%. As someone who follows the Grizzlies, like this can turn quick. I mean, the thing with the Thunder is like if Shea can be this good and maybe a little bit better, and the Thunder get another high pick, they have the Rockets' top four protected pick in 2024.
Yeah.
And so they could get like the sixth or seventh pick in that draft, maybe pick somebody, but maybe flip that for a player that could help them.
Yeah.
You know, eventually the Thunder are going to turn these picks into real players. And it's not just because you can't roster 47 guys.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand the thought process. As a Grizzlies fan, I'm more like, we got here by dumb luck. Not to say the front office didn't make the right decisions a lot of times, but there were like a large streak of bad decisions, I think you could fairly say. And then all of a sudden, sure, it's like, hey, we jumped up from 8 to 2 and got Ja Morant out of nothing we did. We did nothing to earn that. It's just pure basketball luck. And the Pelicans jumped up and got Zion Williamson. And even the Pelicans jumping up getting Zion Williamson, the guy you think is a generational, transformational like talent, the whole reason you tank, that still hasn't come into fruition for them actually being good or winning a playoff series. I fall back more on like the universe is random, guys.
Look at the Bucks. The Bucks. We're still talking about the Bucks as a team that could be great in 3 years because they just randomly selected this kid at 15th in the draft.
Yeah, the Nuggets got Jokic in the second round. The Jazz. Yep. The Jazz had the best record in the NBA 2 years ago because the Nuggets basically handed them Donovan Mitchell on draft night, and they also got Gobert late in the draft, and now it's like, I don't know.
And even they screwed it up.
And then they're like, all right, so personalities didn't work out. We have to trade. So, like, I don't know. My philosophy is just like, just try to win basketball games. If you have to tank it at the end of the season, you might get random. You might get lucky. You might trade for a Chris Middleton. And there's your second all-star. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways for team building. I would rather not assure myself that I'm losing for a few years.
Andrew, I have to also quickly say that I thought this was just like a fake exercise for you to get us to say the Thunder.
I think I would have asked different people.
No. Andrew asked me onto the show to make fun of the Thunder. Like, it's not.
Yeah. I would have, if I were trying to do that, I would have never asked Keith.
Yeah.
There would just be.
But isn't that kind of surprising? Like, I mean, they were on my list, but they certainly weren't like a top, you know, I picked the Pacers over the Thunder.
So
they have a lot to prove. Like they have a lot to prove over these next 3 years that they can have a stable core and that they can add somebody to this Shea, Giddy, Chet, Dort crew that matters. Like and part of like what you said, Keith, is like it's all random. And I think to a degree, they think that too, because that's why they've got so many picks. It's like, okay, well, just throwing in as many lottery tickets as possible.
Yeah.
And then like maybe one of these, like Jalen Williams, Trey Mann, whoever, like pops somewhere. Like you just don't know.
But I think what's interesting is to me, like the Cavs and the Pacers kind of did the same thing. It's like they drafted well. They're trying to develop some young players, and it's kind of stuck because they have like front offices making decent decisions who at some point are like, okay, now we've got to put our foot down and play basketball. The Thunder haven't done that yet, right? Like, so that's where I waffle.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. I was weirded. I mean, I was weirded out. Like, where we already saw. I mean, it was a weird season where you had Chris Paul on the team, but like you had young Shea, and it's like you already had all those future picks coming from the Clippers.
And you
made it to the playoffs, and you almost won a round of the playoffs. You went to a game seven, and then it's like, you know what? We made the playoffs, but we think it's inarguable. Correct. Lots of people feel this way. Lots of front office people feel this way. Lots of people way smarter than me feel this way. Our best route to get further than that is to take steps back and wait. And I'm more like, I don't know. I'm curious to see what would happen if you just actually tried to play with the talent you had because you had those future picks. I would like to say, when I did my whole ranking, I had the Thunder at 13. So like they're in the top. Mm-hmm. They're up there. Like they do have a bright future. And again, you can imagine it's a bright future. If I'm thinking 3 years from now, if I'm picking a team that I think might be good that season, absolutely the Thunder are in that conversation. We're like, they could be awesome in 3 years because they have those future picks. Maybe Chet Holmgren is awesome. Maybe Jalen Williams is awesome. Maybe Giddy is, you know, like there's all these potential paths where, all right, it did work. And they're a contender and they're have a long sustained success. They become a dynasty type thing. So I'm not totally down on like their future. It's just like,
They got to pick a minute and just like jump in.
Yeah. Like, that's a great analogy of like, listen, you can't wait out like the Grizzlies. They're all going to be in their 20s for the next 8 years, like all the good players. And it's like, you can't wait out the Cavaliers and you can't wait out Giannis and Jokic. You just got to play.
Well, here's
at some point,
a list. Yeah. Here's a list of players that will be under 30 in 3 years. Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray, Bam Adebayo, Brandon Ingram, Michael Porter Jr., Jason Tatum, Trae Young, Ayton, Morant, Doncic. I mean,
yeah, those are all NBA level guys. They're still going to be in their primes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even done with my list. I still have like seven names left.
You breathe. I'm sorry. I thought you were
done. No, I mean, part of this exercise too is to just show like how healthy the league is right now, mm-hmm. because there are so many good players. And you have the 23 draft upcoming. Mm. That's going to be a really good draft that could inject like two or three more like franchise, you know, type players. I mean, yeah, I think that if you are a team like the Rockets or the Magic or the Thunder and you think like, oh yeah, our future is bright, and I think that's true for all three franchises, but man, it's going to be tough to break into like the top 10 just because there are so many good players in this league. It's just wild. Keith, Katie, I'm going to let you guys go. Any parting words before we go?
Thank you to you now, and thank you to future you. I can't wait to reconvene on this date in 3 years and just see where we're at.
I would also say,
what if we're exactly right? How scared will we be?
Be amazing. I wish we could turn that into a profit somehow. No, I think it's also interesting, or maybe it was faulty of me to like not even mention like historically good franchises. You know, like the Sixers could just keep rolling on, being awesome. Like the Lakers could have gotten lucky again with a free agent just choosing them. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should have focused them. But no, this is a fun exercise. Thanks for asking me on.
Go follow Keith on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Follow Katie on Twitter at WTEVS. Whatevs? Is that what it has? How do I say this?
It's whatevs. You got it.
Okay. Right after this quick break, we'll be joined by Jeff Garcia to discuss Manu Ginobili's Hall of Fame induction.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids, and honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Our next guest is Spurs beat writer and host of the Locked On Spurs podcast. It's Jeff Garcia. Jeff, how's it going, man?
Doing good. Doing good. Always down to brag and talk about Manu Ginobili, especially seeing him make it to the Hall of Fame. But yeah, by the way, Andrew, I appreciate you inviting me and looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, man. Anytime you can talk about Manu, it's always fun. You were actually at the Hall of Fame induction at the ceremony. Yeah. Can you just give our listeners like a little bit of an insight as to what that was like?
Sure. So the first off, many people think that the Hall of Fame is actually at the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's actually not. It's not. It's in a different building in Springfield, Mass. It's called Symphony Hall. So here's how I found out. The day of the Hall of Fame induction, I go to the Naismith Hall of Fame thinking, oh, it just makes sense. Go there. And luckily for me, a nice security officer told me, you're in the wrong spot, buddy.
Oh, that's awesome. I would have done I think I would have done the exact same thing. Like,
to me, it makes sense because when you drive into Springfield, Mass., you cannot miss the fact that it is the home of basketball because you can see the big silver dome. They have, I guess it's a tower, if you will, with the basketball globe on top. Interesting enough, the trophy that the inductees get at the end of the ceremony is an exact replica of that tower that is outside the Naismith Hall of Fame. So you can't miss it, but I guess you look, like, I know we're talking about Manu in a while, but the most surprising thing about going to the Hall of Fame was seeing that the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame is actually in the strip mall. That threw me off. I'm driving up from my hotel and you can clearly see the dome. You can clearly see the tower, but I'm driving from the back end of it, usually the side that you don't see on TV. And I see a Payless shoe store, a Subway sandwich shop, a Cold Stone ice cream. I go, wait a minute. I think I'm in the wrong spot. This can't be it. And no. So I drive around and I get off the highway, go into the parking spots. And sure enough, I'm like, oh, it's attached to it. And you can't miss it because as you enter the doors, there's, hey, get your sandwich at Subway as you enter the Hall of Fame. And you enter the Hall of Fame and there is a Subway sandwich shop inside. But it's a beautiful facility nonetheless. All kidding aside, it's a lot smaller than what you would think.
Okay.
It definitely looks bigger than what it is, but highly decorated with all, you know, NBA basketball legends, I should say.
Yeah.
As a Spurs guy, you know, I was glad to see David Robinson is like one of the first ones you see as you walk in.
Yeah.
He's kind of in the center, but all in all, it had a vibe of a museum, yes, but also had a vibe of like an amusement park because there were hoops that you can test your verticality. This is a 5-foot rim. This is an 8-foot rim. This is a 6-foot rim. So it has that kind of a flair to it. Very family friendly, you know, a lot of interactive stuff. But nevertheless, I think everybody who's a basketball fan in general should make a trip to Springfield, Mass. If you can. But as far as the ceremony is concerned, or just the whole weekend, it was a whirlwind, from the press conference. Funny thing is that a lot of the inductees kept on saying at that press conference, I got to stop because I'm giving away my Hall of Fame speech. I got to stop because I'm giving away my Hall of Fame speech. Manu made sure to say that too. He's like, I got to stop because I'm giving away what I'm going to say tomorrow night. But it was an experience. I'm glad I did it. I've never did it ever because, you know, Tim Duncan's was in the middle of a pandemic. They weren't allowing people to get in. And then of course finally Manu, Tony, hopefully crossing fingers, gets in next year. And but all in all, a great weekend. So note to everybody who wants to cover it, the day of, don't go to the Hall of Fame. Go to the other building.
go to the one that has the Annie Ann's pretzel attached to it.
Right. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What'd you think of Manu's speech? I mean, I've watched it. Yeah. I know probably a lot of people that are listening have seen it as well. But just like as far as like expectations went for Spurs fans or people that follow Manu closely, like was that about what you expected?
It is about what I expected. You know, he was not going to forget about his Argentinian roots, his EuroLeague roots at all. You knew that was coming. You knew that he was going to give a hat tip to his Argentinian teammates. it was pretty obvious. You see Luis Scola walking into Symphony Hall. You saw, I believe, Andres Nocioni walked in. All in all, it was good. It was good. You saw it coming. Ettore Messina was there. He's his old former Italian coach and Spurs assistant coach. So you knew that segment was going to come. Yeah. I'm glad he did it in a little bit in Spanish too. I thought that was very nice, you know, to cater to that audience, because there were lots of Argentinian media in the house. Friday at the press conference and the day of the induction, you know, strong presence. One other thing too, I thought was interesting was his chat with Tony Parker in the thing. It was funny because he looked at him and it was like, they knew, like they may have butted heads a few times.
Yeah.
He said something like, look, we knew we had to set aside our egos, you know, because when we had our time, we had to do that. And then he joked, you know, because obviously, you know, the bulk of the time was to Tim Duncan. Yeah. So I thought that was a little interesting. He mentioned Popovich, which you knew that was coming. He welled up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the times that he welled up, I thought were interesting. It was Pop. And then when his family start speaking in Spanish to his family, it was I thought that was those are moments where you just like, that's what you want in these some ways, like let's peel back the humanity a little bit, let's see who like this really is, let's get this hard outer shell out of the way and let's see what kind of person he is. And he got to showcase that some.
But for me though, I would have been surprised if he didn't get emotional the way he did, especially in the when he was talking about his Argentinian roots, his mom, his dad. His dad is when he broke down the most, mentioning his father, because this just shows you exactly how much it means for him to represent Argentina and wearing the Argentina colors when he was playing in the international stage. When he retired from the Argentina national team, he cried like a baby. There's an interview he did. He's waving bye to all the Argentinian fans as he played his final game for the blue and white. And a reporter kind of catches him. And, you know, they're going over the fact that this was your final game representing your country. He broke down so bad, Andrew, that he was just flowing with tears. And I've never experienced Manu Ginobili to ever cut short a conference, whether it been when his playing days in San Antonio or in Argentina. He would always get the final question. He would allow a lot of time. That was the only time I ever see him exit an interview because he couldn't take it. And he's been on record to say that winning the gold medal for his home country is more important than an NBA title. So I'm glad that he got in a good chunk of time to reflect back on those days. I had a chance to talk with him Friday afternoon at the press conference. And kudos to him, because he understood where I was going with this, and I wasn't a dummy, okay? So I'm glad he saved me. So we knew that Tim Duncan was going to present him, and I get it. Only Hall of Famers can present inductees. I get that.
Yeah.
And it was my bad. I should have prefaced the questions better. So I say, Manu, you know, the NBA, well, the Hall of Fame PR picks me. They go, okay, Jeff, you're up next. So I'm going. I go, Manu, why Tim Duncan to present you? I should have said, of all the Hall of Famers you could have picked, why Tim Duncan? So he looks at me and he says, because he's in the Hall of Fame. And then he had a chuckle with that, but I think he understood where I was going with this. And then he said that, one, why Tim Duncan is the obvious. There's no Argentinian basketball players in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So that tells me if there had been just one, he probably would have gone with that Argentinian guy. My point is that's how much he cherishes his time playing for his home country. Yeah. So then he tells me Tim Duncan, and he sums it up perfectly. He says, no Tim Duncan, no Manu Ginobili on this stage. He says, without the titles. So.
Yeah. So Manu's really one of the more unique and humble players in NBA history. He's won 4 titles, an Olympic gold medal. But he's somebody that wasn't supposed to be here. You know, he's selected with the second to last pick in the draft and had no clue that he was even drafted. Rod Thorne didn't even know how to pronounce his name. And here's a clip of that.
With the 57th selection in the 1999 NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Emmanuel J. Gino Bealy from Argentina.
Didn't have any clue how to say his name. It wasn't really even on the NBA radar. And yet, he becomes one of the greatest players in NBA history.
Right.
So can you describe to some of our listeners that maybe didn't watch Manu play, the kind of player that he was on the court?
Sure, I'm definitely going to address that, but I want to add to that whole Manu Ginobili coming to the NBA press conference faux pas.
Yeah.
When Manu was introduced to the San Antonio community / media, they didn't know how to pronounce his name as well. R.C. Buford was the GM at the time. I think he flubbed it, and they presented him with Avery Johnson's jersey number 6. No joke. This was on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and they gave him Avery Johnson's number. Now, Avery Johnson is beloved in San Antonio, and he was still playing. So that's the reason why he wears number 20. Originally, his original number was going to be number 6.
Yeah,
in the NBA. But as far as Manu's playing days, incredible. We did a Lockdown Spurs. I don't know when you're going to air this chat, you and I, but it should be out if this is, or soon to be out, where we did a game of what if. We entered the multiverse, so to speak, and asked, what if the Spurs did a draft and stash with him? And they just drafted him and stashed him, and you never saw the day of light in the NBA stage. And his impact in just their title marches, even to the last one in 2014, was incredible. It was a series against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the 2014 March, where he was averaging 16-17 points per game. There was a series versus the Mavericks, where he was averaging 18 points per game. I don't think the Spurs win against Detroit in the finals. They needed him. That was a tough 7-game series. His style of play was incredible. You knew you were going to a Spurs game and Manu was playing, you're going to get a show. Whether it had been pinpoint passes, whether it had been just expression of joy and pumping the fist in the air, whether it be sacrificing everything, and I mean everything, men, if you know what I'm talking about, that are listening right now. Luckily for him, he already had kids and decided to not have any kids. I don't know if your listeners remember this, and Andrew, I know you do, but he played an entire playoff series on a broken arm and didn't let anybody know about it until afterwards. That's how much of a passion he had for the game of basketball, for winning. And it links back to his speech, because he talked about his competitive spirit, and he said it's not a good way to live. He said that's how competitive he was, and probably still is. I mean, he still is, because at the press conference, he said that he goes out for bike rides, and if he broke his previous record, he has to break his record again. I mean, he's just like this vicious cycle that happens. One of the best moments that I remember Manu playing on the court actually came in his later years. And this is already Tim Duncan's already retired. I believe Tony Parker had already left to go join the Hornets. So it was just Manu left. Old Manu, quote unquote. And it was a game against the Celtics in San Antonio. And this the time Kyrie Irving was playing with Boston at that time.
Okay.
Yep. Close game, hard fought game, LMA doing his thing, Manu doing his thing, it was a battle. And it came down to the last shot. Manu takes it, makes it, boom, the whole AT&T Center goes crazy. So we go to the Boston. I don't remember why. I just remember going to the Boston locker room. I said, I'm going to talk to maybe some Boston players. And Kyrie Irving, I'm thinking, oh, God, he's probably upset. Manu dusted him, crossed him up. He was laughing. Kyrie was laughing. And he looked at everybody. He goes, look, that's just Manu, and just smiled. And so just to show you, even like in losses, how opponents looked at him, like, that's just what he does. One of the earlier memories that I liked is when he dunked all over the entire Lakers roster in his debut as an NBA player. His clutch shooting, versus the Suns, when the Spurs would seemingly face the Suns every playoff year, and he would just have some sort of dagger for them. I don't know. But then I also have my personal memories with Manu.
Mm-hmm.
And the best one I could think of you is this one, Andrew. It had nothing to do with basketball. It had nothing to do with sneakers. Nothing to do with jerseys or even his Argentinian roots. It was about a cartoon. So I was in Philadelphia, and the Spurs won, the peak of the Spurs powers, you know, just easily cruised to victory. But that same year, it was early 2000s, Warner Brothers released a cartoon featuring Bugs Bunny and Babs Bunny. Mm-hmm. And in that cartoon, Babs Bunny gets pulled over and the cop asks her for an ID. And she pulls out, fishing for a thing, a Manu basketball card in the cartoon. Uh-huh. And she turns to the camera and she says, "Oh, this is just my Manu Ginobili card. I love Manu Ginobili." So I don't know why. I wanted to know if he ever saw that.
Yeah.
So I asked him. And he starts laughing and laughing. He goes, "Oh, you know, I think he's talking to me in Spanish at this time." He goes, "Oh, the conejo, which is bannet, rabbit in Spanish." And he just couldn't stop laughing. He just said, "Like, I saw it. I saw it." Just smiling and smiling and smiling. So it was just good to have that memory I had with him. That we nerded out for a few seconds. We nerded out. But very gracious with the media. You know, Duncan was very short and sweet. Parker, not short and sweet, but you know, you could feel he wanted to leave after a while. But Manu would stay to the bitter end of the locker room. He would look at everybody, and not in a mean way, just, you know, I'm here. Talk to me. We'll chat. Really good with the media. But yeah, his dynamic play, his all-out hustle, his legendary, you know, playoff runs. Let's not forget, in that Pistons series, there was chatter that he could have won the MVP, not Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how good he was. And I always wondered, too, if he had left the Spurs in free agency, because there were two years where he could have left. It got close. It was Denver was wooing him, and then Philadelphia was wooing him. And he decided to stay. He said, "No, I'm staying, and we're going to make some of this, and we're going to win more titles." And sure enough, he racked up 4 or 5 Spurs titles. And I dare I say, maybe the Spurs, well, during his time, I think they don't get 4. I think maybe they get 2 at most. Had Manu not been the San Antonio Spurs, I don't think they get 4. I think they get 2, large in part thanks to Manu Ginobili.
Yeah, the kind of sacrifice that he displayed is so unique. You know, there's not many players in the history of the NBA that were willing to be a sixth man when they could have had their own team. I mean, the Thunder tried to replicate that in Oklahoma City with James Harden.
Right.
Like, they wanted Harden to be Manu. And the reason Harden couldn't be Manu is because he's not Manu. He didn't have that, like, personality to sacrifice. And, I mean, you know, most of these guys in the NBA don't and are unwilling to, especially when it means millions of dollars and fame, and like, I'm going to be the one that, you know, potentially has the statue, and I'm going to be the one that's going to do everything. I'm going to drag, you know. No, like, he was willing to sacrifice so much. And I mean, can you tell us just what, you know, did the fan base recognize it in the moment? And then like, what did that mean, like, to the fan base itself?
No, they recognize him. There's a saying in San Antonio about the Big Three era. There was Tim Duncan, the greatest Spur ever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There is Tony Parker. Now, mind you, at that time, you know, he was the flashiest Spur ever. You know, remember Eva Longoria, you know, he had a rap career, if you want to put that in quotes. and then there was Manu. And to this day, they say he is the most beloved Spur of all time. And fans want to fight. If you disparage Manu in public, they'll fight you, or they'll have some words for you. I mean, that's how impactful he is still in the community. I mentioned his bike riding. He rides bikes up and down downtown San Antonio and in the Riverwalk, and he's just out in the open, and fans with pictures with him, and sure, let's rock and roll. He is so, I mean, the fact that he's still revered in San Antonio, despite him not playing for such a long time now, is eye opening, because I try to think, like, who was the last beloved Spur? But I mean, I think probably Robinson as a close second, because of what he does for the community and just the philanthropy that he does. But, and maybe Iceman. He's a little old Iceman, you know, still walking around with San Antonio, showing up. But yeah, he is so beloved. There's murals dedicated to him, peppered throughout San Antonio, and just of him. Yeah, there's some that have him in the big three, but there's murals of just him by himself. There's not one of Parker by himself. There's some like Robinson by himself, but he's very close to, you know, like Iceman and Timmy. But there's some, just an entire wall dedicated to Manu. There's just so much love for him throughout the city of San Antonio. And I can only imagine what it's like in Argentina. I mean, it's probably thousandfold from what the fans see back in the Alamo City. Interesting enough about Harden. Harden to this day still says that he patterned most of his game off Manu Ginobili.
Yep.
Gordon Hayward wears number 20 because Manu is his favorite player. So even the kids nowadays in the NBA still know what Manu brought to the league, the Euro step, the passion, you know, the commitment to team. I could probably start for any team, but I'll come off the bench, you know, and other players look at that. I mean, you still ask players about that, you know, bench players. They'll say, look, if Manu did it, I can do it. So the ripple effect, or the positive ripple effect for the league and just basketball in general, is just tremendous.
Yeah. Last question.
Sure.
In the pantheon of Spurs legends, where would Manu fall?
Woo. Wow. I mean, I can't knock off Tim Duncan from the pedestal. You know, he is the legend. Man, he is right up there. I think he might be too. He got to be number two. And I don't think David Robinson would mind being pushed to number three, because Robinson would show up to Spurs games in Manu Ginobili's jersey. No joke. he would have put on Tim Duncan's jersey or his own jersey. There's photographs of him wearing Manu Ginobili's jersey. So wow. I think he might be number two. And look, that's Robinson's beloved still, you know, revered.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I think it's Timmy. And then it's Manu.
Wow. Go follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone and go listen to Locked On Spurs. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on.
Anytime.
Huge thanks again to Keith Parrish, Katie Heindel, and Jeff Garcia for joining the show. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will read the review right here on the podcast. Just like this one from OKC Sports Fan. 5 stars, must listen. 2 great NBA fans with passion and genuine love for the game. Thank you so much for that review. Again, leave us a review and we will read it right here on the podcast. Hope you guys have a great weekend. The NBA season is quickly approaching, but we're still on our 2-week schedule. So we will talk to you guys again in 2 weeks.